put behind me. And Father, as I stand behind this pulpit now, it is Jesus Christ who is preeminent. It's his right to speak these things. And I have no power to diminish Jesus' right to speak, no matter what I've done. And I have no power to increase what Jesus says, no matter what I'd like to do. I'm here just, Father, to be used. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll read to you a little bit out of Zechariah, the 11th chapter, and we'll start with verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. In other words, what it boils down to, we're getting to the point now where there are some people in this room, and all of you for that matter in some areas, some of you in all areas and all of you in some areas, don't want to be led. You simply do not want to be led. Or at least you don't want to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ in all areas. And that's okay. God will allow that. But he will not allow you not to be led. You can decide who's going to lead you, but you are not going to be led. And I'll tell you something else, friend. You're not going to lead yourself. God said you're going to be led, and you're going to be led. You're either going to be led by Christ or the Antichrist. You're either going to be led by the shepherd of God, or you're going to be led by the devil himself. And the devil has some shepherds, by the way, in order so he can lead you his way. And we call them foolish shepherds, according to the Bible. And the Lord said unto me, take unto yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. See, you don't want to take up the instruments, the instrumentality of what the good shepherd gave you, Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm just an instrument. That's all I am. But you don't want to take up the instruments. So you get the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Now, for you to understand how this foolish shepherd, how this wrong leader works, God in verse 16 will tell you how he acts. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off. Won't go and give the time that's necessary to those of you who are cut off. And you don't even know what cut off is yet, so don't tell me that you always counsel and that suffices. Neither shall seek the young one. And don't tell me that you are so concerned about your children and you seek the young one. Because that's the secondary part of this. You're going to find out that this young one talks about you when you were young, got the filthy habits you have now that you will not turn loose of. And you won't let me take you back. I'm seeking the young one. And all you're trying to do is do the same thing, but in a spiritual context now. You were number one. You were competitive. You had to be number one in everything when you weren't a Christian, and now you still have to be that way. But now it's in the name of the Lord. You were weak. You were angry. You were greedy and selfish before you became a Christian, and now you're greedy, selfish, and angry, but in the name of the Lord. Before you became a Christian, you were a mama's boy. And now that you're a Christian, you get upset at me because I won't mama you. So really what's happened is you've taken up the instruments of a foolish shepherd. And this is the shepherd that won't visit those that are cut off. Neither will seek the young one, nor heal that that is broken. Notice it doesn't say, nor heal him that is broken. See, you're so busy trying to heal hims and hers. Husbands, you're so interested in healing your wife and your children, and you're into hims and hers. But you're not into healing that's. He says, this foolish shepherd won't be interested in healing that is broken. nor feed that that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat. Everything's for him first. Number one. If it doesn't benefit him, then it's no good. If it doesn't suit your purposes, then it's no good. I've watched you folks. I've watched what you allow your children to do in terms of church. But I've also watched you when you have something you really want to do, and your children wouldn't even think of disturbing you then, because you lay down the law. And they know when you mean business. I've been to your homes. Don't try to lie. When you pop on that VCR and it's something you want to watch, and your kids know, this is something I want to do, they hit it, don't they? Boy, they ask, ma'am, sir, may I? They send you signals like, boy, we don't want to disturb now. But here they run just flat-ass wild. You got to deal with that. You got to find out, why is it that way? It certainly isn't the children in dominion and control. They're doing exactly what you want done. You've taken on the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Verse 17 says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. See, I'm trying to tell you something here that's very important. This is the flock. You know, if it wasn't for church, some of you wouldn't talk to each other all week long. I watch how you deal with each other. If we could have a church building, semi-Catholic, in which you would each have your private little booths with a little screen there so that you wouldn't have to see or talk to anybody else, that would be your preference. But you see, God says, woe to that idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Woe to you that thinks you don't need the rest of the body. You can just like make it on your own, and we're just somebody you tolerate here now and then. Well, let me tell you something. You are never going to be healthy in body and in spirit, physically, in the physical body, until you understand the interchanging actions of the spiritual body. You're going to get a message on Sunday, God willing. It's going to frost your hair or curl it or shine your head, depending on where you're at. I don't really care. But you're going to learn that God said, can the feet say to the hands, I have no need of thee? But that's what you do in this building. That's what you do in this body. You see, I have no need of the rest. I can make it on. They need me, but I sure as hell don't need them. Well, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. And then there's an element that says, I want to be the head of everything. Now, what if your body said, I want to, every part of your body said, I want to be the hands? You laugh, but that's how stupid you look when you try to take a ministry that doesn't belong to you. or when you try to give up one that does. You look absolutely that stupid. And not only stupid, but tragic and pathetic, because I have a perfectly capable hands that are able to do all the intricate details of doing this efficiently and properly. And yet, you'd rather do it with your feet. Because see, feet don't like, your feet don't like for your hands to be able to do something your feet don't like or can't do. For the simple reason that as a body here, you don't think you need anybody else. And that's why you leave the flock. And that's why God says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. I think it's sad that we've come as far as we have. You're all so blessed materially and financially, and still don't give a diddly for each other. I think you're pathetic, I'll tell you the truth. Fight and squabble like a bunch of spoiled brats. And don't tell me that it's so hard to put up with somebody, because I put up with 50 of you. And I don't treat you the way you treat each other. And I don't even ask you to treat me right. I'm only asking you to treat each other right. But no, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. But let me tell you what's going to happen to you, fool. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up. Arm means power. Right arm, no power. Can't do anything. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now, sometime you try going through the day with your right eye closed, and you see what it does to depth perception. You see what happens when you start, pick up your spoon with your cereal in the morning, stick it in your eye, because you just can't seem to aim it right with just one eye. So you just don't see things right. You can't get things done right. You're one-armed and one-eyed. And you know it ought to be, it's perfectly appropriate for the simple reason that in your mind, in this cerebellum, you have a right brain and a left. They're called hemispheres. There's the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. Now, the right hemisphere controls all the functions of the left part of the body. The left hemisphere controls all the parts and the movements of the right side of the body. So you see, even the brain doesn't say, I don't need the other half. Even your brain's smart enough to unite and say, I'll take care of the half that's opposite of me. And the other half says, I'll take care of the side that's opposite of me. So there can be no right side or wrong side. The body interacts. They need both sides. But you're not smart enough to see that. Or too damn rebellious, one of the two. Now, let me tell you something else. This shepherd that won't visit those that are cut off and won't seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed him that standeth still, but eats the flesh of the fat and tears their claws in pieces, has another problem that I don't think you're willing to deal with. What this is really saying is, if you are following the shepherd that I gave you, then you will emulate everything that he does. See, what you do tells you who you're following. Now, don't sit there and lie and say you're following me the way you treat one another, because I don't treat you that way. I don't talk to your wife the way you do. And I have a hell of a lot of reason to talk to her that way. And she doesn't do diddly for me. She washes your shorts, not mine. And I treat her with more respect than you do. And your husband doesn't bring me his check and buy my clothes. He does nothing for me in that vein. But I treat him better than you do. And no, he doesn't do everything right, and he doesn't do everything the way I like it, when I want it, and how I want it. But I don't fight with him the way you do just because you find fault in him. I got enough fault on all of you to send you all up for a couple years. The only problem is, if I did that, justice would require that I'd go before you. And I don't want to do that. But don't you say that you're following me. Now, if you're not following me, then you have to deal with something. Either I'm not God's shepherd and you're doing right, or you're not following God's shepherd, in which case you're following a foolish shepherd. See, there's no way that you're going to continue to lie to yourself without me bringing it to light that you are not following me. You are lying. What you do is you come along when I happen to be doing something you like. Or you use me as an excuse when you say, well, I want to help and I want to give, when it's someone you want to help and you want to give to. But when it's someone that doesn't fit your fancy, then the hell with the shepherd. Now, if you can honestly say that I pick and choose between you as to who I will help and who I will deal with, then you're lying. See, what it is, you're so pathetic. You're a hand trying to act like a foot. And then there's some of you that are all head. I mean, I've heard of big heads, but you ain't got nothing but head. I mean, you just, there's just nothing else. You ain't even got a neck. Because you won't do anything that you don't control. You don't do anything unless you think it's right. So you're all head. There's nothing about you other than this huge, I'd hate to pay for your haircuts, friend. Probably takes two barbers, three maybe, working on each side. I mean, I can follow you into the barber shop, make a mattress with what I can sweep up. You see, there's no way that you're going to have the luxury of saying, I don't want to follow Reuben. I don't want to do that without having the liability of having to follow whatever is anti whatever I'm doing. You're going to have to follow the opposite of what I do. Or you're going to have to get the hell out of here and go find someplace else. And when you do that, you're going to have to follow that man, or you're going to have to follow the opposite of what he does. But you are never going to be in the position where you can say to God, I don't need nothing. I know what I'm doing. And I'll just pick and choose, and I'm good, and I know what I'm doing, and I don't need you unless I want to. You're never going to have that luxury. None of you will. Beginning with me, by the way. And you're not following my example. God only asks you to follow one man. I have to follow over 40. Over 40, 44 people wrote this, penned this. But you have problems with one. And you ain't, none of these guys ever slipped me a 20. None of them ever done a thing for me materially. Not that I expected, but you get so much more benefits than I do from the one that you're to follow. Ain't none of these men ever come and say, look, I'll show you how. Just look at me. Look how I did it. I've got to sit down and have the Holy Spirit show me. I don't get the luxury of just watching it in living color like you do. Yet you say that it's too hard. You say that you can't do it. And some of you are still messing around with these pitiful, lame excuses, saying that you cannot follow, yet you are following the opposite. Right to the T. So don't tell me you can't follow. It's what you want to follow that is the problem. Amen. Now let me tell you what a shepherd is. What a shepherd is supposed to do, which is the word shepherd in verse 16, and then the rest of the verse tells you what his opposite is going to do. Now this word shepherd should apply to me and every man in here. Shepherd means to tend a flock, to pasture a flock and to rule a flock. Why doesn't my wife pay attention? Why don't my kids pay attention? Well, you can't rule because you don't pasture, because you don't tend. Oh, you want to rule, all right. But you don't understand the pasturing, tending part. And then some will say, well, brother, I've tried that, and she just won't do it. Then why will she let me rule? How come I can ask her? How come I can explain to her, and why will she do it for me? Why will your children do it for me? Nothing special about me. Well, you see, they will do it, and your children will do it, but they won't do it for you. So what's the problem? You and I are not in agreement, are we? And the reason we don't agree is you only want to rule your flock. You don't want to pasture it, and you don't want to tend it. Yet, you expect your family to treat you differently than you treat the family. Men, I'm talking specifically to you. If the ladies in our church got together and fellowshipped and did things the way you do, there would be no ladies group. Amen. They get together, they do things, they fellowship, they have a bank account. Do you know that the ladies group can buy and sell the men's group any day of the week? Do you know that they get together more in 1 week than you guys do in a year? And you know, they never come and ask me if they should meet. They just meet. Oh, sure, they ask me things out of the ordinary and out of the routine, but they love one another after a fashion. And I know there's problems there, but I'll tell you one thing, at least they get together. Most of them. And you know, let me tell you something else. You say, well, why is my life the way it is? Let me tell you what the predator's always looking for. Someone who's been separated from the flock.
Amen.
Someone that doesn't have the herding instinct. You see, the shepherd is the one that will tend the flock, pasture the flock, and rule the flock. Well, how does he do that? The definition of shepherd means to associate with as a friend. You associate with one another as a ruler, as Hitler in a concentration camp. I said to somebody today, you know, I'm glad I'm not Jewish, because I got 40, 50 Hitlers here. Iron-fisted rulers who don't know anything but force. And if it isn't done their way, then they don't want to participate. Shepherd also means to keep company with. I've asked you men long time ago, as a men's group, help the ministry, support the ministry. Oh yes, brother, how can we do it? Get together and pray. Man, the power that it gives it. And like everything else, you agreed and chipped away and chipped away and chipped away till it's almost non-existent. I asked you, you can get together at your homes one day a week whenever you want. That way you don't have to make special trips. No. You said you wanted to do it here instead. Not make an extra trip, so important. I know the Pentagon's got that red phone to your home. I understand. So I said, fine, meet here then. And then little by little, it just kind of went by the wayside. Some of you running around in here doing important things while we're praying, asking God to bless pitiful me and help me. with all the powers that are against you, that don't want you to hear this and don't want you to understand this. But you can't even do that. And little by little, it was less and less, later and later. And I'm not talking about everybody. You know who I'm talking about. You know who you are. I don't, because I don't come here that time. But I know it's not happening. And not only that, not only have you stopped coming early to pray, but some of you don't even get to church on time anymore. And instead of coming early, now you don't come to church on time. Some of you don't show up until we're singing. And once in a while, I'm preaching when people start walking in. Seems to me like that's anti or opposite of what we agreed to do. Now, I didn't put down any ironclad rules. I asked you to do that. You gave me your word, men. You gave your word. You ought to be bound by your word, not by what I said. I didn't tell you to do it. I asked you if you wanted to participate in that ministry. And you said you did. But you don't. We've even got some young children that asked to go out there. I don't know if I was right to keep them. We'd at least had the kids praying. And then you sit here and you wonder, why am I not getting all of this? You go home and you listen to the tapes later. Well, I hear something I didn't hear before. Right out there, friend. You don't have enough time to come early enough to ask God to open your ears. I'm not asking you to do my job. The prayer wasn't so that I could preach different. So you could hear. But no. You see, you leave the flock. You don't want to tend. You don't want to pasture. You just want to rule. You don't want to associate with as a friend. Friend, what do you have that's so important that you cannot get here? Even on time, much less early. What do you have to do that's worth standing up, Jesus Christ? Well, you see, what happens, it starts here, but before you know it, you can't keep your word to your own family. Amen. And then you can't even keep your word to yourself. I'll never do that again. Boy, I want to spend time with my family. Yes, I want to spend time with my family. No, you don't, because I never see you spending time with the family. And because you don't want to spend time with this family, what happens? You end up with 18 jobs or working so much overtime you never see each other and still don't have what you need. And you think you're going to solve it at that level. Here's your problem right here, friend. You don't treat God's family like it's a family. Shepherd means to keep company with. Now, why is it that people have trouble with God's shepherd? It sounds good. He tends the flock. He pastures the flock. He rules, which you'll find out later doesn't mean make the decisions. He associates with you as a friend, and he keeps company with you. What is so wrong? Why do you have a problem with that? Well, we don't. It's the next part of the definition of shepherd. Shearing house. Shearing pressure, two opposing forces grinding on each other, and God help whatever's in the middle. That's what your problem is. The shepherd is supposed to tend means to take care of the flock, to watch over the flock, and to be in charge of the flock. See, woman, I'm in charge. Look up the word charge. It means to be responsible. Amen. You look it up, lady. It doesn't mean take the card and go crazy at the millennium. Not that kind of charge. So you take these words and you just pervert the hell out of them and make them mean whatever you want them to mean. Let me tell you what else tend the flock means. It means to be on the alert. You see, your kids, they do things and you don't see that until they've done it 5 times. And then sometimes you hear it, you see it the 6th time, sometimes the 4th time. They never know where the board, you're not alert. If they don't run over your toes, step on your toes, you don't know what they're doing. And I submit to you, you don't even give a damn what they're doing. Because I have come to you time after time after time after time, week after week after week after week, and told you what your kids are doing and what they're saying and what you ought to watch out for and what you ought to do and what you ought to stop doing, and you still haven't. So you're not on the alert for your flock. You don't tend the flock. You specialize in eating sheep. Tend means to be on the alert in order to keep something from fouling. See, parents, you wait until your wife is fouled up, or your kids, until the mess is made, and then you come with your staff in your hand wanting to part what's already parted. See, she made the decision with the wrong hand. That's already parted. What do you want, Moses? Get a life, will you? You're all wrong here. See, you specialize in dealing with things after they're screwed up, after they're fouled up. But tend means to be on the alert to keep something from fouling. And let me tell you why that's so vitally important. Human nature being what it is, it's a lot easier. See, you could be like the Fonz. See, the Fonz doesn't ever want to admit nothing. So the Fonz is, I knew that. Yeah. He didn't know that, but somebody told him ahead of time, well, yeah, I knew that. But you see, if you let a person do it first, because you're not watching them, or you don't care, or you want them to do wrong, so then you can come down with a stick, Hitler. Well, then it's incumbent upon that individual, being the way that we are, to let pride come in and try to make excuses for the wrong that they did. Isn't it a lot simpler to deal with that individual, tell him up front, so they could say, wow, if I'd have done that, I'd have been in trouble. He'd have been all over my case. He'd have known how stupid I is. I'm not going to do it that way. And then you act like, I knew that. And that doesn't bother me at all. I'd rather keep you from fouling than to have to clean you up later on. And you know that as well from a physical point of view. You'd rather have your children learn how to go to the potty than to keep cleaning it up. Why you don't do that with one another, I don't understand. Why you won't let me deal with you that way. You always wait till it's fouled up. Well, the reason you do that is you're not on the alert with your children and with your wife to keep them from fouling. Now, why aren't you on the alert? Why don't you tend to your flock? The word tend, the final definition of the word, means to pay attention. Now, I ask you this, how are you ever going to pay attention to your children, to your wife, and to yourself when you won't pay attention to God? What makes you think that somehow sequentially this chain of command that you have set up says, I'm going to pay attention to my children. I'm going to pay attention to my wife, and I'm going to pay attention to me. Bro, brother, I want to be healthy. I'm going to be careful what I do. I'm going to pay attention to my business, my customers, my wife, my children. But God and his flock, they can suck eggs unless I'm in the mood. I've always told you, however you relate to God, however you relate to each other as God's family, is the way you're going to do it out there. But see, you all want to fix it up out there, but you don't want to do a thing about what's going on in here. In spite of the fact that I've treated you with every example that I know of how to treat each other. As a matter of fact, I have given you more time than I give my immediate family. But not you. Everything you do has to fluctuate, and everything that we do as a group has to fit with your schedule. What if I did that? There's people in here that wouldn't be married yet.
Amen.
There'd be some of you would already be divorced.
Amen.
And very few of you would have your own children yet.
Right.
But I don't treat you the way you treat one another. You don't pay attention, friend. That's your problem.
Amen.
You don't tend, and then you don't pasture. And listen, don't defend yourself by thinking of the times that you do. I'm not talking about the times or the areas that you do those things. I'm talking about those areas where you're still the same, you haven't changed, because you won't do this. And not only that, you're indicting yourself, because by putting gravy on your back, as you're basting yourself as to how well you do this and that, then you indict yourself. Because my question then is, if you know how to do that and that so well, how come you don't do the same with this? You obviously know how. Well, all of a sudden, you put the gravy ladle away, don't you? Well, you tend the sheep, the flock, and then you pasture the flock. Pasture means to feed. Feed what? Pasture also tells you what to eat. Pasture means growing plants used as food. Growing plants. Now, you know, I go out there and you can look at all the plants you want. You won't find Hershey's or McDonald's or any of those brand names on any of those plants. Pasture also means herbage. To feed on herbage or herbs. Herbs means, or herbage means, any seed plant whose stem withers away to the ground after each season's growth, distinguished from a tree. So it means growing plants that grow one harvest and then wither away, and you got to plant again. That's what it's all about. So if that's what we're supposed to eat physically, then how about spiritually? Well, what you want is you want one message, one tape, and you want to eat off of that forever. No, according to this, herbage means something that has a growing season, a harvest, then you eat, and then we plant again. And that's what I do every week. You get four squares a week. And I have to go plant some seed. I got to go dig around here. I got to cultivate. I got to scratch for this. And then I got to plant some seeds. And then I got to take it apart and put it all together. And then it's ready for you to eat. That's herbage. But see, what you want a tree that you planted once, and then every year automatically you get apples or whatever it is. You don't even have a clue of what pasture means.
Amen.
You need to be fed the seed. See, this is seed. Do you understand what seed means? It means if you take this and plant it in your life, it'll bring you 1,000-fold. This is seed. The problem is you don't treat it that way. So you tend the flock, you pasture the flock, and then you rule the flock. Now let me tell you what rule means. Heil. H-H. You got to have your shirts monogrammed. How you doing, H-H? Oh, pretty good, H-H. How are you? Well, see, it's a lot cheaper than putting Heil Hitler on there. I mean, there's less thread to get it monogrammed. Let me tell you how you rule H-H according to the word. Rule means to lead straight. You see why you don't have a prayer to rule? Because you want to point that way while you're going somewhere else. And rule means to lead straight. It means a straight edge. Do you know what a ruler is? It's a straight edge. It's something that if it's If it's 3 feet long today, it's going to be 3 feet long tomorrow. And it's always a straight edge. And an inch is always an inch, and a foot's always a foot. In other words, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You could learn a lot from just a ruler. I could show you Jesus Christ in a ruler. There's no respect. The distance is always the same. It doesn't measure you differently than it does somebody else. Just out of a ruler, I could show you Jesus Christ. And you're a protractor. You got curves and angles and God only knows where compass and just you can make anything out of you. There's no straight edge. Rule also means a complete set or code of regulations in a religious order. A complete set. It's not a set in which you apply it all to one and half of it to other and none of it to you. But let me tell you what else rule means. It means the way you act, the way you behave as a guide. It means to have influence over. So basically what God is saying, the way I want you to rule this flock is to lead them right by the way you act, the way you behave, be a guide, have influence over them by using the complete set of regulations in the religious order. In other words, what he's telling you is you follow it. And then whoever chooses you as their mate, as their husband, will follow you. That's all I do. That's why it doesn't bother me when some of you leave, some of you late, come in, don't come in. That's your business. I'm here. So if I'm here and you're not, then obviously you're not following me. Well, then I only ask myself, am I in the right place? If I'm in the right place, then you got to be in the wrong place if you're not here. And then even if you're sitting here, my mind is on this word. My mind is on this right now. Where's yours? And then finally, it means to be an associate. A shepherd means to be an associate. This is where most people have the hardest part. See, because when you're an associate, that means you're joined together as fellow workers in some venture or some work. Associate means everybody's together, nobody higher or lower than anybody else. And then finally, what makes it all work is he's a shearing house. Shearing or shear means to cut or clip with a sharp instrument. We have the sharpest. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Shear finally means, and this is my job, and this is why you men are as pathetic in the areas that you are,